So, Resurrection Sunday, I'm a week ahead, okay? I'm a week ahead. He has risen. And as I studied and I looked at the book of Acts, they talked a lot about the resurrection. That something happened, and you know, the world is still, I was listening to an internet thing about a Muslim yesterday, and they said, well, you know, he was in the tomb and he came and stole his body. Whatever. He's just a prophet. But my Bible says that he's the Son of God, and it says, and I looked about 7-8 places just in the book of Acts, God has raised him from the dead. So he was dead. They took a spear and they pierced his heart, you know, to make sure that he was really, really, really dead. And then they put him, a dead body, in the tomb. And you know, after a few days, he came alive. Now, you don't have to believe that. But you should. Because that's the breaking point of your life. Now, not everybody has to believe and say, I believe. Yeah. I think you're right, Pastor. Yeah, I believe. Remember when Bill was here? Is he here, Bill, now? He's not here. Good. Let's talk about him. We were on the other side. He had a dream that night to come to church. We didn't know that. He shows up and he sat there. And at that time, he was just skin and bone. He was on drugs and all that stuff and whatever. And he was sitting in the back. And somehow, there was an anointing in that room that breaks every yoke. Oh, I love that anointing. When you just know that you know that everything or anything is possible. And you know, it was just like we were having communion this morning. We're going to have communion later. And he came with no, he didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ. But God touched his life sitting there, and he began to weep. He began to weep, and he ran to the front. Anybody was there that day? Oh, we have one lady. She was there, okay. But the rest of you. And he ran to the front, screaming, crying, weeping, snotting. He was just so touched by God. Didn't know nothing about God. Didn't say, yes, Lord. Didn't say, I receive you, Lord. I believe in the resurrection. God touched him, and he ran to the front. That is the kind of power I love. That's the kind of power that I love. When you know it's not something that they've done, it's something that he has done. And we have to pray. We have to pray for that. More and more each day. Everything hinges on the resurrection. Yes, the cross is awesome. Yes, whatever God has done, you know, I mean, the miracle, but everything hinges on the resurrection. When we believe that Jesus Christ came out alive from that place because God brought him back to life. Let's read together Romans chapter 10, verse Matthew, Roman, you have that, Josiah? Roman 10, verse 9 and 10. It's a very, very scripture we use often. Roman 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. And believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. No, save is not a thing that we say. Being saved is not something we understand. It's something we experience. You know, there's a lot of things in history, history, and that We know that the Roman exists. We know that there was a war. We know what happened in such a time. We even know that Jesus was crucified because the Roman wrote it down. And, you know, if you go at the Catholic Church in Rome, they have all books from the Roman that they wrote and everything, because something happened that day. There was an earthquake. Something happened that day. The ground opened up, you know, and it was dark for 3 hours, and they said the gods must have been unhappy. So they recorded. The only thing that had happened that day is they crucify an innocent man. And they put him in a tomb. So, why did he come? To give you life today. So today you may have come here. Maybe you don't know him totally. When my wife came back from a meeting, and she was excited, and she told me, "I know Jesus now." Well, I said, "I know Jesus too. I pray to Jesus every day." And basically, I went to church, and I knew the Bible more than she did. But there was something alive in her. Christ was alive. Because she totally gave herself to him. And I was there looking for 2 weeks, looking at her and seeing there was something different. There was something in her that was radiant. And that's why it took me 2 weeks. Now, some men are more stubborn than I am. Some men are not as stubborn as I am. My testimony, 2 weeks of seeing her with the grace and the love of God. And then when I said, well, this is real. This is real. Because we were looking for something real. A month before, we joined Amway. Was it Amway? Amway. The whole family. 15 kids. We all got a package, and we're going to make a fortune. We're going to go all the way with Amway or whatever we said. And we were looking for something, either to be rich or either to fulfill our life. And then 2 weeks after, 15 package went back to the whoever it was, right? Because that didn't do it. But when Christ came into her life and Christ came into my life, that was 35 years ago. That did it. What we were looking for, we found it. And hopefully you stand in this place today and you know him. Not because history says it, because the Word of God says it. Isaiah 42 says that he was bruised. Says, do you have that? Okay. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one," talking about Jesus, "in whom my soul delight, I have put my spirit upon him." Now that's Isaiah speaking. They found this book in the cavern of, where did they find it? In the Dead Sea Scroll, written 100 years before Christ. The same word for word. Okay, you could read it the same way here. "He will bring forth justice to the Gentile. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." And he says, "A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." Talking about Jesus, saying that he's a gentle man. And he cares. And you know what? You're going to see as you read the gospel, you're going to see that how gentle he was. They were going to stone this woman because she had committed adultery. And he says, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, another woman came to him with an issue of blood, and he said, "Somebody touched me." And he looked around and saw her. And he said, what do you want? And he said, you know, you're an ear. That's it. You know, that's the Jesus that we serve. A leopard came to him. What do you want? I want to see. I don't want to see, but I want to be normal. A blind came to him. And this one says, I want to see. And you know, a gentle man said, you are here. Walk. Go. It was done. Didn't matter if you were a sinner, if you were sick, didn't matter. And it's still the same because of the Resurrection Sunday, because now it's a new man that came out. I was always wondering why did the angel had to move the stone? Because, you know, he came in the room through the door. Remember after to the disciple, he came through the door. And he could have went through that, but angel moved the door for us. So you could see that the place is empty. There's no more dead man in there. He's alive, and he's sitting at the right hand of God. Isn't that right? So Jesus had time to stop for all those people. And you know what? He has time to stop for any one of you. He's not too busy for your problem. He's not too busy. You can talk to him. You can be there whenever. Just call upon his name. What happened in life, people don't know where to turn. There's so many things out there. So many toys. Men have toys, you know, and all that stuff. And people are looking for God. They're looking everywhere, and they can't find it. There was a soldier in the Battle of Shiloh that was in the state. And he was a private, just right. Private is the bottom of the line, right? And this commander officer was beside him, and he got shot in the arm. So the commander said, give me your gun and run at the back to get somebody to take care of him. So he said, okay, give him his gun and he run at the back. And he ran to the back, and when he went to the left, the enemy was pushing there. So then he ran to the right, the enemy was pushing there. So he came, well, I can't go nowhere. So he ran back to his commander. He said, give me my gun back. That's the only way there. We can't go that way. We only can go this way. And with Jesus, it's the same way. You know, people, you can't go this way, but when you connect with Jesus, you go all the way. There's only one way, and you know that way. You know what you have to do. You just got to go with him. There's only one way. So people are looking for forgiveness. How many would understand me that forgiveness is found at the tomb? It's found in Christ Jesus. People have tried to forgive and forget, but when you connect with him, that's when you begin to forgive. True forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes a lot of people are messed up because of whatever happened in the past. You know, some people committed awful sin. In this church, I had people coming to me. Now, that's over 12 years. Pastor, I killed somebody. What do I do? You kill somebody? Is that a daily thing you do or what? Did you ask God to forgive you? And they say, well, yes. Then he forgave you. But how do you live? Nobody knows except the pastor. And he's not supposed to tell anybody. So I'm not telling you who it is, right? Doesn't matter. But the thing is, people committed awful things in life. And then all of a sudden, they get to the cross and say, God, forgive me. I've committed things that sometimes come back and say, and I got to say, no, I brought it to the cross. Jesus Christ rose again and is as far as the east is from the west. That's true forgiveness. It may come back, but you say, no. So it's I got a story here of a man, and that happened in Mexico. And he had a son named Paco. Now, if you go to Mexico, Paco is a very common name. It's like Pierre or John or in Canada, right? So what happened, he had a big argument with his father. He was 17, and he left the house, and he ran, and after 2 months, his father noticed he was not coming home, looking for him. 2 months go by, 3 months go by, and finally, he said, I got to find my son. He ran away. So what happened, he put an ad in the paper. Dear Paco, he said, everything is forgiven. I forgive you. I'm your dad. And I love you. He said, meet me at the park in Mexico someplace, I don't know where, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So he put that in the newspaper. Sunday morning came. Over 200 young people with their name Paco showed up. Because there was no last name. See, there's so many people that need forgiveness, so many people that hurting out there, and really, the only one is the living Jesus. As we connected. And even maybe in this room, there might be, you know, somebody that's holding back from him. You know, you can say he's your Lord, which you can hold back sometime. So I'm a fervent believer in heaven. How many do you you want to see? Do you think you can make it to the end? Awesome. Okay. All right. I am an awesome believer in heaven. That when you leave this world, you know, even my wife, we were talking the other day, and I said, maybe we're just going in the ground for a little while, and then we go to heaven after. She said, nope, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I said, okay, that's good. That's 1 point for you. Right? It is. So you've got to believe, even the unbeliever, people who don't know Christ, don't know God, you go in different nations all over the world, they believe that there's life after death. But they just don't know where it's found. You get the privilege of knowing that it's found in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm a firm believer in hell. How many believe in hell? Okay, we've got a few. Okay. And you know, when it comes to hell, there's different word in the Bible. Gehenna, okay. There's Sheol. I've got another couple here, maybe Hades. And you know, people say, well, it depends what words. And even people that are this theologian, you know, they don't really agree on it. But all I'm saying, what I see in the Word of God is there's something real there. You know the story, I like the story of Lazarus. And he said, you know, and Jesus said that story, but never said if it was true or what. But he said, he died and he went into bosom, Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. Okay? And he went there, and then there was a gulf in between. So it's kind of like a paradise, not heaven, paradise. On one side, Abraham was there and a lot of people. And he went there because he suffered a lot. You know, nobody took care of him. But the other guy, which had everything and never gave anything away or never did anything, he went down to the pit. And he said, just dip your finger in the water. Put it on my tongue. Isn't that true? Now, when I was young, I knew what thirst is. When I was young, I would play hockey all the time. And you know, stupid me, never brought any water. In those days, you didn't buy a bottle of water, right? And we played hockey for about 2 hours until there was no more water in your body. You're just dry. So you put your face in the snow and heat the snow trying to get some water. And you're so thirsty that you're just dry inside. And you know, that's what must have felt for this man under the flame or whatever. Wow. So my faith is in heaven. How many of you, your faith is in heaven? How many of you will keep working to keep going there? Amen. You don't change yet. And 1 Peter 3, verse 19. Jesus said, Peter says that when he was in the tomb, he went down to preach to people in hell. Okay? In a lower place of the earth. And if you look at 1 Peter 3, I think it's verse 1 Peter, do you have it here? No, that's Isaiah, Josiah. Yeah. By whom also he went and preached to the spirit in prison. Now, that's in the time that he was in that cave. His body was there, but his spirit went down and he preached to them. I remember he told the guy on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in heaven, in paradise, down there somehow. It was a holding place. And he went down there and he did warfare or whatever he did. He preached to them. And then remember one place it says that 500 people saw him after he resurrected. That's a lot of people. If we take 500 people, for those who know your math, I gave them 15 minutes to share what they saw after, and that would mean that Friday will be done, those 500 people, if we go 24 hours a day. That's how many people saw him alive after. That's a lot of people to testify. So, did he go down there? Yes. And I believe that he went down there to get the key from hell, the key that Satan had to hold you. There was a lady, you probably heard of her. Her name is Kay Archer. Ever heard the name? Kay Archer. Well, everybody looks at her, wow, she's a Bible teacher. She's a godly woman. She goes precept upon precept and everything. But one day she wasn't saved. One day she had no forgiveness. And she was about 25, 26, 27 years old. She was married to a maniac depressive. Is it maniac depressive? Manic depressive. And she got so fed up, she went with another man. Okay? And when she went with another man, he found out. And he said to her, you stop this or otherwise I'm going to kill myself. And she said, go ahead. Make my day. Kill yourself. I'll collect the insurance money, and I'll be happy, and I'll have lots of money. And she walked away. Well, he did that. He committed suicide and killed himself. Now, when she was coming back from the cemetery, she was looking at her life as an unbeliever. She was looking at her life, and she said, well, I've been an awful woman. I've been an awful wife, been an awful, you know. And, you know, people say God is alive. He said, I don't believe in God. And she said something to Jesus. She said, Jesus, go to down there. And she was upset. She said that, and she meant every bit of it because she couldn't see God in her life. She couldn't see nothing. She had no forgiveness. But somehow, later, shortly after, somebody spoke to her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she received him. And God forgave her everything. And then she became a woman after God's word and began to teach the word. But before that, see, that's who the gentle Jesus came for those before that. For the people that you meet every day that maybe they don't know Christ. He came for your friend that maybe they're going through trouble. They don't want to hear about your Jesus. But he's the gentle Jesus. One word from him to them, and they will break down, just like Bill dropped down one time. You know, there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, when we pray the prayer of faith over your baby, what is his name? Caleb? When we pray for this little guy, we believe God, and we stood on the word, and we pray life in the little guy. The same way as we're praying life in that other little kid that we pray at the beginning. Somebody thinks they have a great idea. You know, we're going to abort him because we are married, but we have we both have a job. It just doesn't fit in our life. Just doesn't fit there. So anyway, Kay Archer gave her heart to the Lord. And you know, she said, what she said after, she said, to hell with Jesus. That's what she said before she was saved. And then she realized after she got saved that he did go down there for her. And he came back victorious. And all she had to do is to believe. And it changed a woman that had a hard heart to a woman that had a mission, had a commitment for herself and the body of Christ. You know, some of us look like, you know, we've been in the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever, and we look good. It looks like we always was like that. But we weren't always like that. We had another life before this life. But God forgave us because of the resurrection. And whosoever believed in the resurrection have life now and forever after. Okay, I just want to read another scripture. I'm going to stop pretty soon. Revelation. We'll go verse 1. I was reading Revelation this week. Awesome book. Revelation, verse 1. And Jesus announced himself. And verse 18 says, I am he who live. He's alive. And was dead. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Always. And then he said, amen. Let's say amen. Okay. I am alive forevermore. That's not very good. I am alive forevermore. Amen. All right. This is good. And I have the key of Hades and of death. Somehow, once he come back talking with John, he's got a set of keys. I don't have my keys here, but I do have a set of keys. And those keys open doors. And you know when Jesus says he's got the key of Hades, he got down there. I'm sure Satan didn't come up and said, there's the key, Jesus. Save you a trip, right? No. He went down there, got the key, and now he has the key. And we follow Jesus, and the man's got the key. And he says, write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will come to pass. In other words, take note of this. This is going to happen. I like that. Remember sometime he says, two times he says, listen, or listen again. And, you know, you got to say that. Okay, good. How many know Mary went to the tomb? Matthew 28, verse 1. Can you read that, Josiah? Matthew 28, verse 1. You're working on this, right, Josiah? It took her a while to go to the tomb, so we just kind of wait a little bit. You got it, Josiah? Matthew 28. Okay. Now, after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And that was early in the morning. Next verse, Josiah, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I don't know why he would sit on it, but his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. Verse 4. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." And you know what? The angel invited her to go into the tomb to look. Hey, nobody here. He's nobody. He's gone. He's gone. And he soon will be back. And later we see that he came back, the gentle Jesus. And you know what the gentle Jesus said? He just said, "Mary." He just called her name. And she thought it was the gardener before, but when he said, "Mary," she knew how he pronounced her name and the tone of voice, and she turned and saw him. He was alive. He was well. That's the Jesus that was dead, but now is alive. Is he alive in your life? Is he alive in your life? Is he going to be alive in your life next week? And the week after? Forever. I'm going to ask the usher to bring the element. We're going to have a communion this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team, why don't you come over here, and we're going to worship a little bit. And while they give you the element, so you can go ahead, usher, you can give him the element.